Welcome to another Thoughts On. This time we're talking about our podcast with Tony Molina, founder of the Rewire Project. He's been fairly, if not very, instrumental for us since we met him probably about 18 months ago. Very instrumental in how we've approached fitness, health, really everything from breathing to ice to how we see, I don't know, kind of how we feel about life and everything that we're doing, really. Because we met him midway into the journey. We'd already done issue one. We were introduced to him by your cousin.
That's right, yeah. Martin.
Martin. And we didn't really know what to expect other than we'd heard these stories about him being a marine recon and being shot out of submarines. And we were like, A, we should just meet this guy because anyone shot out of submarines fighting people called the Shark underwater.
We should clarify that. Shot out of submarines on a breath hold to disarm bombs because the oxygen from air tanks would be too volatile to the bomb.
So a guy that had seen quite a lot. So
yeah,
like, we should definitely meet him. And ever since that first conversation we had with him where he said, you should never be out of breath when you're training. And he said something else. And the health and fitness industry is killing everybody. It was like a...
Well, he had a new dynamic that we hadn't really come across as of that point in our own personal journeys and with people. And in fact, actually, let me clarify that. We had come across some of the things that he was saying, but we hadn't really linked them all together. Because, for example, one of the big areas that we talked to Tony about is ice and breath, and we obviously covered Wim in the first issue. We were just about to meet with Brian McKenzie. So we were coming across these terms, but we hadn't really linked them all together. We didn't have the connective tissue to link them all together, and Tony started to put all of these together for us.
And talk about them in a different way, so it's not just Wim's quite out there.
And what I love about it is that, you know, Tony's first career was in marine recon, and so I just love the fact that he spent a lifetime searching out information, connecting it all together, and then bringing it back and presenting it to the, let's say, to the powers that be. You know, like, here is the best intel there is.
I've never thought of it like that.
And you know, and the stakes that he was playing with the best intel there is this is 100 people's lives at stake.
And more.
Yeah. So therefore, this is the best intel there is. Yeah. This isn't, I kind of read a few books and some magazines and had a few chats. It's like, no. This is me going out and doing it. And that's really what he does at the Rewire Project. He goes out and he finds this intel, he brings it back, and he implements tests it on himself. I mean, the big thing that he said was that, there's a lot of great passive coaches out there, but really people connect to the monkey see, monkey do philosophy. And I'm not asking you to do anything that I don't do myself. And you see it when you see it on their Instagram, on his Instagram or Rewire's Instagram. You know, he's
the
guy.
Rewire Project.
Yeah. He's the guy in the middle of the mountain stream with the skull cap on, with a big smile on his face while all the clients are kind of like, whoa.
And also what's quite cool is he said that he doesn't always enjoy it. He was telling us about one time he was in the car with another guy and they were, we should go into the ice. And it was snowing outside. They were in the mountains and he was like, I really don't want to do this. So he's human. I was going to say he's superhuman. He's incredibly human. But he knows and appreciates the benefits of it and kind of that challenge. And it's not just about health. Or he sees health in much broader, hence the Rewire, like that ability to adapt to fears and stresses and personal, you know, mental blocks that you would tend to shy away from. And that's almost how
he's looking at the whole system, isn't he? I mean, I remember the story that he told us of the client that came to him that wanted to lose one pound in weight. You know, she was severe eating disorder and wanted to lose 1 pound in weight because it represented getting to a certain weight for her. And he
sent her away.
He sent her away and said, look, you know, this is just not what we do. And she came back to him but he took her on as a client, but he made an agreement with her. Okay, I'll help you lose this 1 pound in weight because clearly this is something that you need to do. And in return, you will commit to this program that I will give to you. And what was incredible about the program was it was so comprehensive. It wasn't just a fitness program. It was a mental health program. You know, it was an adaptive medicine program. Or, you know, I believe it was an adaptive medicine program. It was so comprehensive to this person, individual person's good health. It wasn't just like, I'll take care of this one thing. Like, we're going to put you on the treadmill and we're going to get you fit, you know, cardiovascular fit. Or, you know, I'm going to increase your strength. It's like, okay, we're going to take the whole system and we're going to work on the whole system's health. And that includes your mental health as well as your physical health.
Yeah. As a byproduct.
Yeah. And we hadn't really come across many people that are looking at it from the macro, yeah, from the macro perspective.
What I really like about Tony and what they do is, and we were kind of getting to that with talking about the ice and cryo, he's not saying any one thing is better, like cryo is better than getting in an ice bath or going to a mountain stream. He's just saying cold is great for the body, do it every day, because he said in the podcast, you know, first thing in the morning, go and jump in the sea.
Yeah.
If that's where you've got, like, that will suffice. Mm-hmm. And there's no dogma other than the principles. He's just really sticking to the principles. It's a little bit cold, a little bit hungry,
a little bit out of breath,
a little bit out of breath, or not out of breath, you know, not out of breath. And it's very easy for people when they can overcome their own probably ego and barrier to go and see him, because it's not right, you're going to be, you know, if you're not back squatting 150 kilos or whatever, which would be amazing anyway, then, you know, that's not,
yeah,
you know, you don't even have to lift a weight,
yeah,
with him, but you will go through the principles are all the same whether you're a top flight athlete or you are.
We're all humans in a human body. Same principles apply to everyone. Yeah. Some people are fitter or smarter or whatever, more compassionate, but the general principles for good health are pretty much the same for everyone.
Yeah, I think the difference comes in when it's specializing in sport. And he did say, he said, well, we often said, always ask why you're going to the gym. Is it for good health or is it because you feel you should be doing these things? And I kind of think, is that still the same when what you're doing, when you know that what you're doing might not be benefiting you after listening to Tony? And that was what we had. I was going to CrossFit all the time, probably out of breath, repeatedly every day, thinking it felt the best thing in the world. And then after that, it was like, oh, I shouldn't be out of breath in that way.
Yeah.
And then everything improves. You can train the next day a little bit more than the day before, etc. So you're getting the improvements. You add in the cold, you add in all of those things. And it
the important thing for me that stands out, and that is the question. I think it's ultimately one of the hardest questions of why you, what is it that you want? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it for good health? Because then you need to potentially change your entire stories, internal stories around what good health is. Because, you know, good health for you may not be lifting lots of weight, or it may not be hitting the road, you know, on a massive run or a massive bike ride, because your system's so stressed out that actually all you need to be doing is coming back into relaxed mode, parasympathetic mode. And how can you, and how's best to do that? Imagine coming in and going, well, I just need to get fit. And then someone says, well, actually what you need to do is get in an ice bath and you need to do breath work. And we're going to work on this for the first few months until your body adapts to the environment. And then we can get into those steps.
But good health is the ability to do all those things. Like the people that we've seen, and the osteo that we'll speak to, Troy, he was like, everyone should be able to run a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
You might run it in 7 hours, you might run it in 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
But everyone should be able to do that because we have a body that can do it.
Yeah.
And it's about having your body always able to do it. Doesn't have to be for record times.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to squat because our body can do it. If you're not able to squat through not, you know, exercising and grooving that, it's kind of like, wow, you're limiting everything that you can do.
Yeah.
Because it sort of bleeds into all of those parts of...
Goes back to the Movnat philosophy and O on the Cause philosophy of, you know, why do you have the body? You know, primal, like you should be able to, you know, save yourself and save someone else if required, if needs be. You know, from a primal standpoint. Yeah. And if you can't be doing that, then...
Yeah. Well, you should be able to get up off the floor without using your hands.
Yeah.
And who were we with the other day? Or someone was trying to do that and then they couldn't.
Oh, it's one of my friends.
One of your friends. But it's that thing when you try it, you're like, oh.
I'll paraphrase. I was really embarrassed, Chris. I couldn't get off the floor without using my hands. It's a guy that's in his mid-30s or late 30s, you know.
And
it's like,
wow.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting Carl Powley for the first time and his four movements, the push, the pull, the squat and the pistol. It's like a muscle up, handstand push up, squat and a pistol. And you're like, wow, muscle up's amazing. But I remember him saying, if you regress it all the way back, it's only being able to get out of a chair.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow. And there are so many people that can't get out of a chair. And one of the methods, when my dad, you know, he had Parkinson's, it's like you always want to be able to get out of the chair without using your hands.
Right.
Or just using your hands. So you can push up and you go, wow, people that can't do that. You're like,
yeah.
There are probably, you know, I'd like everyone that's listening to then just get up, be able to get up without using their hands.
Yeah. Man, that is wild to me that people can't get off the floor without using their hands.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in your 30s.
Yeah, and it's not doing anything crazy. It's just simply getting up off the floor and even getting down onto the floor.
Yeah. Well, there's a fantastic quote in it where it's like, Tony says, the problem with movement is that most people can't move.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and actually I'm just mimicking his laugh after he said that quote as well. You know, and
the sad thing is he then said that people have to watch, you know, screens to live vicariously about, oh, they kind of want to do those things because that's why we watch them.
Yeah.
But we're not able to do it. And it doesn't mean we're Alex Honnold free soloing. It's just you can express. I think it's always about expressing your body in the way that bodies can be expressed. You don't have to be as good as someone else who's dedicated their life to their art form. It's just being able to get up off the floor, I think, be a human being.
Yeah.
And that was that sort of feels what Tony's pod was about.
Yeah. And so for me, you know, we've talked about this, kind of had this experience recently where people have come to us and asked where to start, and seems to be a lot of people kind of, and Tony talks about this, about being 30 and then you get given the book that kind of tells you the guidelines for good health, and actually having that experience where people are coming to us and saying, I don't, you know, where do I go?
Mm.
You know, how do I start?
Because there is so much information out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's got their own slant. We said to Charlie Dark, actually, when he was saying what's in the podcast, when he talked to us, he was interviewing us about what would be your recommendations to people. Because there is so much information out there, and one of the things we said was go with the person that you kind of like who they are and what they say. Because most people are saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing a natural squat or a CrossFit squat, they're both still squats.
Mm-hmm.
But you might just be more
inclined to one
than the other.
Yeah.
Neither's better than the other. They're just all, the principles are all there. You just choose your flavor.
Yeah.
As we say. Just drifting out, you were going to say something.
No.
So I thought that was interesting. And the fasting mimicking diet, because we both have experiences of, you've gone like the full way and then I've just done different things.
Yeah, and I get, you know, there's a piece in The Guardian this week that I haven't read it yet, but apparently links fasting to eating disorders in some way, shape or form. And I think it's the same question again, that we just, you know, why are you doing something? Because fasting is not wrong. It's a biological, you know, or it's a process that humans have been going in or going through since day one. It's a tool. It's like, you know, a knife is a knife. It's a tool, and it's, you know, why are you doing the fast? So why are you doing a fast? And Tony talks about the fast, plant-based
fasting mimicking diet.
Yeah. And the idea is that, you know, you do it for several days and it resets the system. And that's what I have done my fasts. Well, that's why I did one of my fasts in the past, from that perspective of resetting the system, clearing it out and kind of beginning again, if you will.
How did you feel afterwards?
Yeah, I felt horrific. But, you know, everything's a learning process, and there's a reasons I felt horrific. One is that the quality of water I was drinking, it was questionable. I didn't retreat away from the world. I just kind of maintained a normal working schedule, which at that time was a really hectic 5 days. I kind of was going through emotional stuff at the same time. I basically just kind of grinded my way through a 5 day water-based fast. Yeah. And it, you know, perhaps there were benefits to my body, but probably not to my mental health.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of, okay, the next time I do a 5 day water fast, I've kind of learned.
I think it's being able to say that after the event. Because I remember when you were doing it, it kind of felt like you were punishing yourself. But, and you probably were, and you had to get it out of your system. I've never done something as extreme as that, but I've done my broccoli diet where I felt like absolutely incredible on just eating broccoli in the morning.
Yeah.
Like a whole tree of broccoli. And I, you know, I could train great, inadvertently probably doing the plant-based fasting mimicking diet.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you're like, and now I feel like just eating everything I see.
Yeah. Again, like, you know, what's the intention behind it? Why are you doing it? I've done four day fasts out in the middle of a jungle where it's just me on my own for 4 days, and you kind of come away from that feeling super energized because of the surroundings that you're in, you know, completely isolated from the world. Yeah. It's lots of time for reflection. You're making everything quiet, from your internal digestive system to the environment in which you're sitting in, and that's a radically different experience. Yet there's only 1 day difference, and in fact 3 of the 4 days are completely dry fasting. There's no water or food, and the fourth day there's one cup of water, you know. And it's like,
how do you feel when you're not drinking
in that environment? It just doesn't bother you, you know. You're in an 8 foot by 8 foot
clearing,
and it's, you're not moving, it's, you know, you're completely at rest. So it's not, you're not exerting any energy, you're not, you know, the environment itself is quite wet in the air, or there's moisture in the air, I guess, you know, so that probably has an effect, but you're just not distracted by anything. You're not expending any energy on anything apart from your mental process, which day by day is slowing down because, you know, everything is slowing down.
Which maybe is the reason why people do the extended fast, you know, like the 16 hour, where you stop and you do it in the evening, as opposed to doing it during the day. So you sleep overnight, which uses up a bunch of those hours where you're...
Oh, like a like an intermittent fasting but in the evening.
Yeah, right. But you do it in the, like, from 6 till
12
the next day, and then you've done, is that 18 hours? That's 18 hours.
Yeah.
But you've done a lot of it overnight when you're resting and not expending energy.
Yeah, in fact, that's the way that I do my intermittent fasting.
Yeah. Rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
Because then it feels like a super punishment and you have to explain yourself to everyone, and then I'm not eating because of this. You can just go home.
Yeah.
Drink some water and then not eat. That's...
The quality of water, I also have to point out, was massive. Like, I just had no concept that that would make such a big difference for me. And it really did. And I was drinking tap water half the time through a dodgy filter, and that was wild. I just would not, I mean, if I was going on a water-based fast now, I'd be so mindful of the water that I was drinking or consuming.
Clean water, obviously, but just real water.
Yeah.
So good filters. And then that's connecting with Zach Bush, who these podcasts that we keep talking about are recommending to people by this doctor, medical doctor, Zach Bush, which almost comes back into that we should be in nature more often, and you were doing your plant-based or your full fast, dry fast,
in nature,
connecting back, feeling.
And then also, you know, I think the way that we do the cold, it's like you get in the sea, I get in the ponds, it's, you know, you're smack bang in the middle of nature. It's not just about the cold exposure. Yes, that's the beginning point, but it's, you know, the microbiome is being influenced by the fact you're in the sea or by the fact we're in a pond, as opposed to, you know, a sterile ice bath, you know,
or a cryo chamber.
Yeah.
But then they are all really good to get you into it. And for some people.
And, you know, I was thinking about this with regards to someone I know earlier on. It's like, I can never get them into the sea. You can get them into the cryo chamber for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just entryways, isn't it?
Mm.
Or doorways.
I think that's, as long as you're, you know, follow the principles.
Yeah.
And then everything else is your particular...
Methods are many, principles are few.
Yeah, everything else is your flavour. And we get that with the sea and the ponds, don't we? You know, people's responses. And if anyone does want to come into the English sea, the cold English sea, or the icy Hampstead ponds, message us, because we're in every day.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
and we can go through that stuff with you. But I think we've been following that for, you started Wim Hof method before me and then got me into it, and that cold shower thing, and almost,
well, you know, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I started that in 2015 and was into it and did the whole 10-week course and the 10-minute cold showers and stuff, and then kind of just moved away from it, and then we've both got into it in the last 6 months. It reminds me of Tony talking about being in the, you know, his
military.
His military, where he was in it and then he kind of stepped away from it for so long and now he's back in it, but coming back into it with different mindsets.
Yes.
And this is what I mean also about, you know, when we met Tony, coming back to him with different mindsets, having more information, connecting more dots, the stuff with Zach Bush, you know, the stuff with Brian McKenzie and the breath work, you know, the stuff with Wim and the ice, and all these things are connecting, you know. And it's not just, you know, we like to go to the gym and lift heavy weights, but it's not just about going to the gym and lifting heavy weights.
Well, it's part of it, isn't it? It's being able to.
Yeah.
It's being able to go to the gym and, or the box or whatever, and you can
lift heavy weights.
You can lift weights full stop, and it just feels, you do feel good. And if you can leave feeling better than when you came in, which means not overdoing it.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to push yourself to that point.
Yeah.
Same with a run, same with going in the ice. The purpose of going in the ice isn't to come out like an ice cube with hypothermia.
Yeah.
It's to feel better and warmer and all of those parts.
Yeah. You know, I was about to say, it's having a more mature perspective on why you're doing things. And actually, you know, Tony says that about, you know, do what you want until you're 30. Mm. And then once you've kind of got that out of the system, then you can start to come at it with a more mature perspective. Actually goes back to Jamie Wheel, you know, and talking about the tribes where, you know, the young warriors were counseled by the elders as to why you would do anything. Because when you're 25, you can do anything and you want to do anything, but you don't have the wisdom to know what the consequences are.
Yep.
Same with this, you know, you can do everything and anything and, you know, essentially break down your body until you're 30. Then you start to feel it. You have a bit more wisdom. You start to look at it, you know, with a bit more perspective. And so, yes, I can go and get in the sea for 10 minutes and come out with mild hypothermia, or I can get in it for 3 minutes because I know that 3 minutes actually activates the stress response that I'm looking for.
Yeah. And also, when you're not feeling to go in for whatever reason, then you don't have to push yourself.
Yeah.
Because you know that you can do it, but you don't want to be in that fight or flight. It's being able to go into situations where, and that could be a run or, you know, work or anything, just a family afternoon where you're not really looking forward to, that you can still be relaxed.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in that fight or flight mode. And I say that laughingly because I have a tendency to drop into that.
Been there, done that.
And then you can do it. You can just go in and you can be yourself and you can be a human. You don't have to go, you know, you don't have to become over or under who you are. You can just be who you are.
Yeah.
Rather than putting on an act or retreating.
Yeah.
You can just be.
Yeah.
And I think that's possibly the philosophical purpose of the Rewire Project, is you can just be who you are, which is a person with great potential.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there looking at that book called Fearless, but you realize and understand that you're vastly more capable than you think you are, or other people say that you are, if you can do all those bits.
Yeah. Seems like a good place to finish.
Okay.
Nice one. Have good weeks.
Have good weeks. Let us know what you think about the podcast. We've been having some really lovely questions, backwards and forwards, or questions and answers. And we're just kind of pointing people, aren't we? We're pointing people in directions of other people that they should perhaps go and check out or go and see. And that's always the purpose of what we're doing. We're real-time experiments on ourselves.
Yeah.
And having a lot of fun doing it. And other people are, well, hopefully doing it with themselves. And then when you realize that you're improving in ways that you didn't really realize, it's quite fun.
Yeah.
So we And also, I'll say the thing about the swimming again. We go to Hampstead Ponds,
Chris,
or Brighton Sea,
James,
pretty much every day. So Instagram us.
Well, the ponds, we go to ponds every Sunday at 7:30 a.m. mixed ponds in Hampstead, and we'll do breath work, and then we'll get in the cold, and we'll go during the week, but that's a bit more
ad hoc.
Yes, yeah.
And then Brighton is most days in the mornings, tends to be after yoga practice and before we get down to some work.
Yeah.
Well, that's me anyway, with a few other people down here. So if you fancy coming and indulging in some cold water, send us a message on Instagram is probably the best way.
Yeah.
Or email us at info@wemovemagazine.com. Yeah, or Instagram, We Move Magazine.
Sweet. Have a great week. Peace.